Luke chapter 11, we are going to be studying verses 27 through 36. Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 36. And what we'll do is read the passage. It seems like three separate, unconnected things, but honestly, there is a theme that ties them together that will help us when we study today. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, well, the things he was speaking were about the accusation against him that he was casting out the devil by Beelzebub. And instead, what he was explaining is that he had come to cast out the devil as the strong man to overcome him. So it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye, therefore when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, in this passage of Scripture, notice in verse 28, Jesus said, Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And I would say that that statement is the theme of the whole passage that we've read today. It's what ties these three seemingly disjointed episodes or comments together as one. He said, those who hear the word and keep it, what are they? He said, they're blessed. They're blessed in verses 27 and 28. They're not condemned in verses 29 through 32. And they are full of light in verses 33 through verse 36. And that's what we want to study. The three things that Jesus comments on regarding those of us who hear the word of God and keep it. There are people who hear the word of God and don't keep it. There are people who don't even hear the word of God. But he said the blessing comes when you hear the word of God and then you do what it says, or you hear the word of God and you keep it. So let's take it then in those three different sections and see what the Lord has to say, because there's more to learn than just those three things that we've said. This woman that was in the crowd in verse 27 was being complimentary to Jesus Christ when she said, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. You see, the Pharisees had been accusing Jesus Christ of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They wanted people to turn away from Jesus Christ, to be scared of him, that he was some sort of that his supernatural power was demonic, not divine. And when he cast out the devil in the dumb man and the dumb began to speak, you'll remember the people wondered and the people were amazed. So this woman was shouting her approval and likewise her praise of his mother. Now I want to turn to two separate passages and show you what's going on, let's say, in the life of somebody like Jesus Christ, who is a prophet, but who is being maligned by other people, or somebody who is a righteous man like Jesus Christ, but is being pummeled by his adversary, the devil. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 20, I'll show you. Concerning this statement that the woman made, blessing his mother, watch these things. Jeremiah chapter 20. You know, Jeremiah was given a commission to pull down, to pluck up, to root out, to break down all that wickedness that was going on in Judah. Well, you can imagine he wasn't very well received. And notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 14. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. So this woman is crying out, blessed is your mother. And he's like, this is not a blessed day when you receive the treatment in the world that I'm getting. Verse 15, cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and shouting at noontime, because he slew me not from the womb. Or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. So, you know, she's trying to be complimentary, but the truth is, when you're doing something like Jeremiah did, or more importantly, what Jesus Christ did, there's a question whether or not that's such a blessing. It's such a horrible treatment. Notice in Job chapter 3 what Job said. We'll just read a little of it. When he was being attacked by the devil and couldn't even figure out why. What did he say in Job chapter 3? In Job chapter 3 and verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. And he goes on and talks about the sorrow of it all. And then he said in verse 11, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? So it's an interesting statement that she made to be complimentary, but it's not such a blessing to come to this world as light and have the whole darkness of this world turn against you. Now he says here, and of course Jeremiah and Job are two of the greatest men that had ever lived. Jesus Christ is the best, and the treatment of this world is not such a blessing after all. Now she said in verse 27 of Luke chapter 11, what? She said, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. A blessing toward Mary. When Mary spoke to Elizabeth, when she realized that she was pregnant with the Messiah, she said, you know, all the generations are going to call me blessed. And here this woman is blessing her. But it's interesting that Jesus Christ in verse 28 didn't say, you're right. He said instead, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What's the point? When Jesus Christ had an opportunity to affirm Mary as the blessed Mary, like she is venerated in the Catholic Church, he did not take that opportunity. He swiftly said, not blessed be her, but blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. You would know that if there was something to the quote-unquote blessed Virgin Mary, this would have been the opportune time for him to accept those accolades on behalf of his mother. Not only did he not accept those accolades, he shot that down right away. He said, that's not where the blessing is. The blessing is on those who hear the word of God and keep it. And the blessings on the Word of God, when you have those and keep the words of God, what most people don't realize when they start to read the Bible, is that it seems to be a difficult book to read. And because it doesn't have, at least when you first start reading it, all the fast-moving pace of a shoot-'em-up movie or a sci-fi movie or a scary movie, and it doesn't have all that glitz and glamour going on in it, it seems to be dull and it's hard to hold your attention. But if you will ever break through your carnality and start reading the Bible, you'll venture into something that Hollywood cannot produce. And suddenly you have a view into eternity. You begin to see in your own life changes and cleansing. You start reaping, as he said, the blessings of God. Blessed are they. And rewards in eternity and supernatural access to knowledge that cannot be accumulated in any university or any school or any Google search. It comes from God. It's a phenomenal book, but you've got to recognize God said there's a blessing if you hear it and keep it. You just have to believe him and venture into it and find that what he said is so. And you will if you will believe what he said and do what he said. So they are blessed who hear the word and keep it. But not only that, those who hear the word and keep it are also not condemned. Notice what he said in verse 29. When the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign." Well, they had just seen a sign. He had just cast the devil out of a dumb man, and when the devil went out, the dumb man began to speak. And there were people there who tempted him in verse 16 and sought of him a sign from heaven as if what they had just seen wasn't good enough. And he said, You know what? A generation like you that's seeking a sign from a man like me tells more about you than it does about me. I don't need to prove to you who I am because I know who I am and the scriptures tell you who I am and you've already seen enough to believe who I am. You're an evil generation when you're seeking a sign in order to believe what you should already be able to believe. An evil generation, they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. The sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. It's an evil generation. You know, Jesus Christ, you have to think about some of the things you're reading, not only in their context, but as they give you light about the life going on around you today. If Jesus Christ was trying to be a rock star preacher, if Jesus Christ was interested in bringing glory to himself by the size of the crowds that followed him and the influence that he had in society, he would have never said what he said in verse 29, accusing all of them to be an evil generation. Notice in verse 29, the people were gathered thick together. What modern day superstar preacher wouldn't take advantage of that opportunity? Because that's what they're doing today, measuring their success by the size of the crowd. Jesus Christ instead said something to thin out the crowd. Very, very different than preachers today. And they seek a sign, he said, and the wickedness is they'd already seen one and absolutely rejected. They just missed it. This devil was cast out. He said this can't be the devil casting out the devil. His kingdom would be divided. That should be sufficient. You know, the problem is that we live in the same kind of generation today that that Jesus Christ preached to in the generation of the past. They still want to see a miraculous sign. And what does that set up the world for? The Antichrist, who when he comes, comes with the power of Satan, right? With all power and signs and lying wonders, and they fall for it. That's an evil thing. Why? Because your access into eternal life and your understanding of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and God manifest in the flesh doesn't come by a sign. It comes by faith. And you got to simply believe who he is and what he says. When you're not going to be convinced by faith in the words of God, then you're going to be convinced by a sign, and because you want to be, not you, but want to be convinced by a sign, then you'll go after the sign giver, and the sign giver is going to be the wrong man. You see, that's the generation of the strong delusion. That generation believes a lie. So Jesus Christ said, well, I'll give you a sign. I'm going to give you one, just one. The sign of Jonas. The sign of Jonas the prophet. Well, what kind of sign would that be? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. What kind of sign would that be? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. And we'll read verse 38 for the context to see that it's the same. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them in verse 39, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So that's the sign. And of course, they don't get it the day that they're looking for it in Luke chapter 11, but they get it during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because after his death, he's buried, and 3 nights and 3 days later, he comes out of the grave. Let's go back to Jonah chapter 2 in the Old Testament and see what was going on specifically. So he's referring them back to Jonah. If you're looking for it in the Old Testament, it's right after Obadiah. Did that help you? The 4-chapter book is right behind the 1-chapter book. Jonah chapter 2. In verse 17 of chapter 1, he's in the belly of the fish. Don't you like the Bible? You know what I love about the Bible? I just have a radio message going out where something is revealed by the author. The Jonah chapter 1 tells you that this great fish was prepared to take him, and this great fish swallowed him up, and he was in the belly of the fish. And you get to Matthew, and Jesus tells you what kind of fish it was. I love that about the author. Moses dies in Deuteronomy chapter 4, but they can't find his sepulcher. In Matthew chapter 17, he shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ, and it's not until you get to Jude that you find out how he got there, that Michael the archangel came and got his body. I love that about the Bible. Facts are revealed later by the author to let you know it wasn't the men who wrote down the history that knew everything there was to write, but it was God Almighty directing them what to write and when to write it. So there he is. He's in chapter 2, verse 1. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of, help me, what's the next word? Hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Look at verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from what? Corruption O Lord my God. And that's very interesting because there's a prophecy about that fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 2. When Peter is preaching to those Jews who had been unbelieving until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is explaining to them from the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus Christ's resurrection fulfills prophecy. Notice what he says in Acts chapter 2, in verse 27, when he's quoting from Psalm 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 27, quoting from Psalm 16, Peter says, because thou wilt not leave my soul in where? Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see what? Those are the two words used in Jonah chapter 2 to describe where Jesus Christ was. Or in where Jonah was, hell and corruption. Verse 31, or verse 30, David, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Jonah is the perfect sign. If you want to know, he says, I can show you all kind of miracles, but you're just going to keep looking for more. And when the Antichrist comes, who you're really now looking for, he's going to show you all the signs that you want to see, but I'm going to show you one that he can't do. I'm going to show you one that was already prophesied. I'm going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, literally in hell, and I won't see corruption, and I will come up, and the prophet Jonas is the sign. You believe that one, you're going to get it. And if you don't believe that one, then there's no hope for you. So when he gives them that sign, then he refers to two Old Testament occurrences, Jonah's preaching in verses 30 and 32, and the Queen of Sheba's visit to Solomon in verse 31. And he says that in verse 30 that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. No question they'd heard that he'd been thrown overboard and had survived 3 nights and 3 days in that whale's belly and had been vomited up on the shores of or the coast there, and had traveled to Nineveh and then had preached that great message. I mean, it sent shockwaves into that city. And look at Jonah chapter 3. I guess I should have told you to keep your finger there. In Jonah chapter 3, look at their reaction. In Jonah chapter 3, I'll tell you a funny story, just give you a little humorous interlude here for a second. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, notice the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Years ago, there was a preacher, like an evangelist, that would travel around and preach. And one of the sermons that he preached had to do with this episode here of Jonah going into Nineveh and preaching. Well, he was well known, and a lot of people really liked what he had. And of course, being an evangelist, he could polish his sermons and his delivery. And he was in a conference. And during that conference, there were several preachers who preached. And one of the young preachers who was there got up. And what he preached was something out of Jonah. And he did it with a lot of fanfare. You know, like there were pot plants in the windowsills around the auditorium and things like that. So this guy is dramatizing Jonah getting swallowed by the whale and then being vomited out on the beach, and he gets one of the pot plants and he takes it out of the pot and he sticks it on his head like he's been vomited up with all the seaweed, you know. And he comes in and he's preaching and the Ninevites get right with God and everybody's like, wow, that was great. Then the big time evangelist comes in and it's his turn to preach. Well, that happened to be his message. And he started preaching. It was an exact, this kid had stolen everything from it, including putting the pot pan on his head. Well, don't worry. I'm not going to be running around here with a pot plant on my head when we talk about Jonah coming out of that fish's belly. Jonah chapter 3, Verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, saying, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Again, one of those hard-hitting, direct, right? Kind of like, I'm not looking for results type message, just boom, God's going to overthrow you. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh did what? Believed God. And they did. They proclaimed a fast. Even the animals didn't fast. The purpose in verse 9, according to the king, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They absolutely turned, and they turned at the preaching of Jonah. And back here in Luke chapter 11, in verse 32, Jesus Christ said, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. They repented at the preaching of Jonah's. What was Jonah's? Jonah's was a prophet, but Jonah's was not some extraordinary man. When given the commission to go to Nineveh and preach that message, what did he do? He disobeyed God and ran the other direction. God had to create a storm, throw him in the water, swallow him in the belly of a whale, swim him back to the shore, spit him out, and tell him, you going to go this time or what? Jesus was not like that at all. He obeyed from the very beginning. And he said, they listened to that guy and repented. And a greater than Jonas is here. You got to know, if these people did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and they just heard him say this stuff, they were mad as a hornet. And he wasn't trying to make them mad. He was trying to help them to understand, just like Jonah did when he said, this city's going to be overthrown in 40 days. You got to believe what you're seeing here. But they wouldn't do it. In verse 31, he refers to the queen of the south. This is going to be in 1 Kings chapter 10. That is the queen of Sheba. She'll rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And I'm telling you what, she brought a train of goods and gold, you know, spices and things like that, to pay Solomon for the wisdom that she came to hear. And Jesus Christ was here, freely you have received, you know, free to give. He's just giving it freely. And he says to the people that are there, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And it's true. So how did Solomon end his reign? He married all those strange women. Remember that? And his kingdom was divided. Jesus Christ never once ran from an obligation like Jonah did. And never once betrayed the scripture, violated the scripture. Anything he did, he was sinless. And he said, those guys, you know, Queen of Sheba and the Ninevites, responded to Solomon and Jonah. And you're not. And they're going to condemn you. They're going to condemn you. So what have we learned so far? Number one, that those who hear the word of God and keep it, Jesus Christ said, we're blessed. And the second thing he says is, you're not condemned. You're not condemned. Notice in John chapter 3, before we go to the next thing, because it will actually lead to the next thing he's going to say. I could just hear the Queen of Sheba telling these guys in the judgment, all we had was Solomon, y'all had Jesus, and you did what? John chapter 3, verse 18. Speaking of they are not condemned. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's what the Lord said. This is an evil generation. Verse 21. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Jesus Christ has come, and he has presented them with truth, and they have rejected truth, and he says, you know what, you're condemned. But those who have heard the word of God and believe it, and know, or do it, hear it, and keep it, not condemned. Blessed and not condemned. And finally, in the passage we're studying today, they are full of light. And it's interesting, in John chapter 3, he's talking about that propensity to either draw to the darkness because they're evil or draw to the light because they're good. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So in verse 33, he gives them a picture. And the picture is this. So this guy, just kind of see it this way. A guy walks into a room. A man walks into a room, and it's dark. There's no light in there, and we're talking about a time when you can't flip a switch and turn the lights on above your head. So in verse 33, this man walks into this room and lights a candle. Well, what did he light the candle for? He lit the candle for purpose of bringing light into the room so that he could see. Obviously, then, he's not going to put it under a bushel, and he's not going to hide it in a secret place. What does he do? He puts it on a candlestick, and that lights the room that way, at the end of verse 33, they which come in may see the light. He's not saying so much that they see the candle, but they see the light that the candle is producing so they can find their way through the room. And notice then at verse 36 at the end, when he's concluding what he's about to teach them, he says, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So the candle then gives you light to see the things that need to be seen in the room that you've entered. So having then given that illustration, he says to them in verse 34, the light of the body is the eye. In other words, that's where light comes in. Light doesn't come in your ear. It doesn't come into your brain. It's not absorbed through your skin where you can see. I mean, obviously light is absorbed. But the point is, anything that is illuminated by light comes through the eye. The light of the body is the eye. And then he says this, if your eye is single, your whole body is also full of light. If your eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. So then the question is, what is a single eye and what is an evil eye? And I think the easiest way to define it or understand it is this. The single eye, listen, a single eye sees what the Lord wants you to see, and it sees it the way the Lord wants you to see it. I'm going to say it again. A single eye sees what the Lord wants you to see and sees it the way that the Lord wants you to see it. An evil eye, on the other hand, doesn't see what the Lord wants you to see, or an evil eye sees what the Lord wants you to see but sees it the wrong way. Let me give you an example. There are Jehovah's Witnesses who have studied the Bible, or their New World Translation, more than a lot of Christians have studied their Bibles. They're seeing what God wants them to see, but they're not seeing it the way that God wants them to see it. They're seeing it the wrong way. And part of the reason is their New World Translation has also been retranslated so that there are things in it that God didn't say and God doesn't want them to see. So that would be an evil eye. Doesn't see what God wants you to see, or sees what God wants you to see the wrong way. A single eye sees what God wants you to see and sees it the right way. All right, well then, here's Jesus speaking these things to this crowd. And who is Jesus? Jesus Christ, we're speaking about light, is the light of the world, right? Turn with me to John chapter 1, because he's talking about light and darkness in the passage we're studying today. In John chapter 1, look at this. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. So Jesus is like that candle that is now lighting all the darkness of that room. He's up on a candlestick, if you will. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth what? Every man that cometh into the world. So that light, every man saw it. Lighted every man that cometh into the world. That's Jesus Christ, that light. And what about the words that he preached? What are they? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth, help me with that one. The entrance of thy words giveth light, right? Giveth understanding unto the simple and unto the soul. So what you have now is you've got light in the person and light in the words right there. And he's not hidden. He didn't come in secret to appear just to a few people. He lighted every man that was in the world. He was not covered so that they couldn't see the light. He's right there. And he says, the light of your body is the eye. You're either going to see this light, all right? Or your eye is evil, and this light that's shining is not entering into you, and you are filled with darkness. You're either full of light from what you see and hear, right? Blessed are they that hear the word and keep it. That's what we're talking about. You're going to be your body will be full of light from Jesus Christ, the author, and the words that he spoke and that are written here. What's the problem? Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ is giving a resounding rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees. And watch what he says over and again in Matthew chapter 23. We'll just go right to the verses, verse 16. Woe unto you, ye, what's the next word? Blind guides. Verse 17, you fools and blind. Verse 19, ye fools and blind. Verse 24, ye blind guides. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee. What's the problem? When you're blind, what's the problem? Light doesn't enter the eye. So if there's darkness inside the body, then darkness remains inside the body because light doesn't enter the eye. An evil eye is a blind eye. Can't see the light of the Lord or the Word. So if somebody in here is inclined not to believe, not to hear, or not to keep the words that are being spoken, what's going to be inside of them is going to remain total darkness. But if you receive and hear the words, then they penetrate and your body then fills with light. So he says to them in verse 35, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. He's warning them right there at the moment about that darkness that's in them. And because a lot of them are evil, an evil generation, and their deeds are evil, what did he say in John chapter 3? They won't come to the light. they won't come to the light. Now in verse 36 he says this, if thy whole body there be full of light, 1, 2, 3, 4, what are the next four words? Having no part dark. So if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark. The Lord does not want us to take the light of His words and parse them out so we just take the ones we want and not the ones we don't want. Right? Hear the word and keep it. But it's possible to have dark places hidden from the light because of some evil. I want to give you one example. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Just want you to see this. That light, in other words, the Lord wants us to be full of light, having no part dark. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we've taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither yet the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do you see how the light came on? Same thing happened after the resurrection when he opened unto them the scriptures, when he opened their understanding. Ah, now we see it. So it's possible for us to have light coming in, but have a part dark. And what the Lord wants in verse 36 is he wants the whole body full of light, having no part dark. The whole shall be full of light. That's what he wants. That's what he wants in us. And that's what he wanted them to see. The candle was shining bright as Jesus spoke. All that was needed was for them to see the light with a single eye. In other words, he said, I'm not making my words hard for you. I'm not making my words secret. I'm not hiding them from you. I'm putting them right out there where you can get them. They're all plain. They're in plain sight. They are lighting this place. Let the light come fully into your body through the eye. That's what he's telling them. And if you do, you'll be blessed, you won't be condemned, and you'll be full of light. Won't be in the darkness. It's a fabulous passage of scripture. And it really helps us because when we read, that's what we want to do. We want to hear them. We want to keep them. Father, thank you today for teaching us something out of the scripture that happened back then that works very well in our lives today. Help us to be faithful, to open our eyes, receive the things that you have spoken. Hear these words and keep them for Jesus' sake. Amen.